This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:49 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shaoning and Jen Sun. But first, let's talk about carbon markets. Malaysia will be launching the long-awaited Voluntary Carbon Market, or VCM, exchange on December 9th to drive the nation's environmental change and sustainability goals. The VCM is an initiative under the purview of the Ministry of Finance and the Ministry of Environment and Water. I suppose that name will change with the new cabinet. While Bursa Malaysia was given the mandate to implement the VCM exchange.
The MOF Deputy Secretary General Dato' Johan Mahmud Merican said scaling up sustainable finance is timely for Malaysia, which is still at an early stage of its sustainable journey to achieve net zero carbon by 2050 at the earliest. How will the VCM be structured? How successful will it be? And what will be the take-up? What will the take-up be like?
For some insights on this, we speak to Jason Low, Head of Social Law and Human Rights of EMIR Research. Good morning, Jason. Thanks for joining us. Can we start with maybe getting an idea of how the carbon exchange in Malaysia will work? Who do you think will be the likely participants? And are you expecting robust participation?
Thank you for having me on VFM. Yes, the VCM, or Voluntary Carbon Market Exchange, is basically a form or type of carbon trading. As it is, it brings together the participants and players together so that they can trade, buy and sell among themselves, bringing supply and demand together. Carbon trading is basically the buying and selling of carbon credits, which are market-based permits that allows a business to offset its carbon emissions to meet the overall net zero carbon emissions target, or to be more precise, carbon neutrality. Carbon neutrality means carbon emission and carbon absorption net to zero, or balances each other out, which in our context of Malaysia would be by 2050. So for example, if a business were to buy carbon credits, it will be allowed to emit a certain ton of CO2, carbon dioxide, or if you will, carbon dioxide equivalent. That is to say, carbon dioxide plus other greenhouse gases, GHG equivalent. One carbon credit is equivalent to one metric ton of CO2e. Then there is carbon offsets as well, or sequestration, which allows for businesses to compensate for carbon emissions by investing in natural or carbon removal technology projects. For natural, it'll be like replanting of trees or reforestation. For technological, it'll be like investing in green and renewable technologies like solar energy. For the purpose of VCM, we can regard both as basically the same in function. Although conceptually, you know, there's some difference. As to the likely participants, well, we would expect an increase in the uptake. In other words, the broadening from the usual sectors like cement, steel, fertilizer production. These are some of the most main, major or top polluters, you know, in the country. But we expect that more sectors will be joining in. And also because Bursa Malaysia is also encouraging the rest of corporate Malaysia, if you will, to go ahead and engage in the carbon trading.
Okay. So, Jason, do we know if the first round of credits will be sourced from abroad and certified by international standards, or will it be mainly local produced credits from this clean development mechanism projects?
As we know, Bursa Malaysia will source the first round of carbon credits from abroad, and these will be certified and issued by VERA as a national registry so that it will be based on established rules and international best practices. Bursa has already signed an MOU with VERA. VERA is a leading international standard setter that manages the Verified Carbon Standard Program, VCS, which is the world's largest greenhouse gas, or GHG, crediting program. As for credits from Clean Development Mechanism, you know, which are already in place in Malaysia since we signed under the Article 12 of the Kyoto Protocol, you know. I think about more than 10 years ago. Why is it that it's not being sourced? I think it could be that, going back to the distinction before, CDMs are not carbon credits as such, but carbon offsets. And so are investments in rehabilitation, recycling and recovery projects, mainly in renewable energies and waste management. So these are projects that could well be, though not necessarily so, separate from the industry's businesses and require separate financing. So the whole process from conceptualization and planning to operationalization and implementation could be very time-consuming. Of course, for industries like the palm oil industry, there are already pre-existing CDM projects, such as palm oil, mill effluent, POME, methane recovery projects, and biogas production. And of course, it's pre-existing in the sense that it's related to their core competencies. But for the new entrants, sourcing for new credits from abroad is the way to go, to kickstart the carbon market that's rules-based and moving beyond over-the-counter OTC to a more market-driven system without any more undue delay. That said, I would say that incentives for the deployment of carbon credits from CDM, we need tax incentives that will allow businesses to offset their green financing from financial institutions like banks, you know. And we need to set up a green investment bank co-owned by the government via, for example, Ministry of Finance and Khazanah, the GLCs and the private sector, to provide green and sustainability financing at low or competitive rates or even soft loans for the first 5 years to attract borrowers who might otherwise want to delay until the regulatory requirements are put in place.
And Jason, what can Malaysia do to encourage robust participation in carbon trading? Are there any gaps in this market, especially since carbon credits are voluntary?
Yes. Through tax incentives, such as carbon credits allowances, which allows businesses to offset purchases of carbon credits with tax credits. And then when it comes to the secondary market, for those businesses that sell excess or surplus carbon credits, the tax credits claimed can function as a form of tax cuts. The gaps can be quickly remedied by the introduction of a carbon tax and a domestic emissions trading scheme, our own ETS, which are our own, which represents direct state intervention, cap and trade. So instead of a market-based instrument like BCM, so it is state intervention. And then furthermore, since we are part of the CPTPP, although personally I have my own misgivings, there is the environmental, social and governance requirements for compliance also. So all of these will serve to accelerate, you know, by way of incentivizing participants to participate in carbon trading.
Jason, very quickly, we've got about 30 seconds left on the clock. Can I ask, how do we ensure that participants make credible claims associated with their use of credits to offset emissions?
Well, I already mentioned VERA, and so participants can have quality assurance and bolster their reputation in the market. So I think it's very important for us to, which is why this is also one good reason for Malaysia to source our carbon credits from abroad, so that the alignment, the symmetry, if you will, with international and best practices can be quickly established, so that we, you know, we set the foundations first. And then with that confidence, then we can encourage the other participants, you know, who might dilly-dally, you know, unsure about whether or not the standards are actually recognized. Because we have to remember, our trade with the European Union is growing. And right. As we all know, the European Union is, of course, in fact, the world's leading supranational entity on when it comes to carbon trading.
Okay.
You know, they've already got their own ETS. And of course, in order to plug carbon leakages, they have introduced the CBAM, or the Carbon Border Adjustments Mechanism, which all imposes right. a customs levy or duty that, in effect, speeds up compliance on the part of the EU trading partner countries. Because in order to ensure that your goods have frictionless entry into the EU market of some close to 700 million.
Right. They're going to have to get involved in this. Jason, thank you very much for speaking with us. And I do apologize having to cut you off. That was Jason Low, Head of Social Law and Human Rights of EMIR Research, giving us his take on how Malaysia's VCM could take shape, something we'll be watching. It's 9 a.m. We're heading into the news bulletin. We'll have the FBM KLCI numbers after that. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.